Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Today, I'm so excited about having Apostle Isaiah Kadiri with us. We're so glad to be able to have you from Nigeria.
Thank you very much.
And you might want to slap a little bit closer to that mic so they can hear you right there. I really, man, if I only, the excitement and encouragement that I have in my heart that you're here. And I mean, Africa's got a message for this nation. You know what I'm saying? It's got a message for this nation, and revival, I believe, is coming in such a way that as people have been preparing, maybe your heart's been crying out for revival and you've been really wanting, you know, God to just stir your heart. Well, I have good news for you, Pastor. Apostle Isaiah is going to be sharing with us. God has given him a vision about the Gulf Coast. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad you got a chance to stop by the VFN TV studios before you went back to Nigeria. But You're an apostle over 12 churches, I believe, in Nigeria.
Sir. That's right.
Yeah, and we had a chance to be able to go together, be together in the summit, the Harvest Summit up in Morningstar.
Yes,
is that not an exciting place or what?
Oh, it's so exciting, and the glory of the Lord was so heavy.
Yes,
and it's so wonderful. I really now see that what God was showing to me was real. And the Morningstar program was great,
yes,
really great.
Even the breaks. I mean, every time, all of our relationships, all of our encounters, wasn't it? It was amazing, wasn't it?
It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, first I want to be able to say that, you know, in the early part of this year, God had called me to a sabbatical to just spend some time with him. You know how that is when God's calling you to spend some time with him. And as I was going there, they gave me a particular unit I was going to be staying at. It was 1906. And the Holy Spirit speaks to me, and he says, that's the year for Azusa Street. Mm-hmm. And of course, I went and had to look it up.
That's
what it was. Mm. And then I get to a place where I'm on sabbatical, and I got the phone shut down and different things happening where you don't want to hear a lot of talk and conversation going on.
Yep.
And but a phone call gets through. And it happens to be Pastor Bennett from South Africa. Mm. And he starts speaking about something that I know that you're going to be speaking about, and to the word that you're getting specifically, where he was, his word wasn't specific, but he called me up, and I got a piece of this conversation right here. I wanted you to be able to hear this right here. This is Pastor Bennett from South Africa calling me during sabbatical. The Lord told me in 1906 that about Azusa Street was going to begin to happen in America. But listen to what he said.
Before you go, I'm just thinking that, you know, we need the Azusa moment, you know, in that nation. What do you think, brother?
The Azusa, what do you think? Azusa Street?
We need the Azusa moment in this country again.
Are you talking about Azusa Street?
Yeah, we need Azusa, the revival.
Oh, my goodness.
The revival must break out. The revival must break out.
Exactly.
But revival only can break out when men and women come together. As long as we are working divided.
Yes.
You know, and the thing is to say, this is what we do in our church, and this is what we control. And all revival cannot, we cannot experience revival. We need to come to that place and say, this is what God says, you know, we must do. You know, as long as we continue holding on to say, you know, I'm a Catholic, or I'm a Methodist, or I'm a charismatic, and whatever stuff.
Right.
You know, that delays revival. Revival will come only when the people of God come to a place whereby and say, you know, we're going to lay down our differences, we're going to lay down our ideologies, you know, our way of doing things, and we follow the way of Christ Jesus. God will come. God will come. God is seeking men and women who can fully and say, you know, send us and use us. And you'll see, Brother Greg, what God will do to us.
Wow, that's confirmation, because when I was headed on my sabbatical, the Lord spoke to me, Azusa Street. So you just confirmed, brother, what God had laid on my heart. And then
I'll pray for you before you drop the phone, brother. I just want to pray with you. I just feel like, you know, it's releasing what is inside of me right now as we talk.
Well, you remember Charles Seymour was African-American. He was African, and he was the one that cried out to God for God to move, and despite everything that happened to him, and God heard his cry.
Yes.
And next thing you know, he poured out, but he was African-American. And it was 1906, April the 9th, 1906, because God spoke to me before. You confirmed exactly, you know, what God had laid on my heart, you know, about it, that
So when I'm hearing what you're saying, I just want to give you this platform and just speak over the Gulf Coast, because, you know, we cover, as you know, that whole area of, you know, that, you know, God's kind of speaking to you. I just want to give you this time to be able to prophesy. You know, what has God said to you about the Gulf Coast?
Wow, that's amazing. And I give God praise for the privilege to be here in this studio. I consider it a honor and privilege to be here to declare to the viewers and hearers what God has shown to me. In the year 2010, I heard from the Lord that it's time for you to go to the United States. But what I was coming to do and what he's sending me for, I don't really have a full idea of what it is. But when God gives you instruction, you get to get going.
Right. That's right.
I've learned that.
Yeah,
right.
You get to get that. Going.
Yes.
In the process of going, many things will be revealed to you, but you got to get going. Mm-hmm. And that was the way that God dealt with me. So in 2011, that was the first time I got the privilege to come to the United States in the month of July. As I flew into Atlanta, I was checked in and stamped in to come into the country, the moment I stepped my feet on the shore of the United States, that was the beginning of the revelation. So the first night, God revealed to me that there's going to be a great move of God in the United States of America, more than we have seen before, more than we have heard before. I read about Azusa Street Revival, and God make reference to Azusa Street Revival in that revelation he gave to me, that the outpouring of the Spirit of God is going to take a greater dimension beginning from the Gulf Coast.
Oh, wow.
And then I was really coming to attend a conference in 2011 in Fort Myers, Florida. Mm-hmm. And it is because of that revelation that this great end time revival is going to really spring up from the Gulf Coast. And God told me to move to the Gulf Coast.
Oh, you're moving to the Gulf Coast?
So I when I saw this, I said, wonderful. Really, it was in the process of time when I came to the Gulf Coast, I now got linked to people that were really helping me to really actualize the purpose of God in my life, sending me to United States for this end time strategic assignment. It was God raised people around me to really help me. Right now I'm in Fairhope, and right in Fairhope, God helped to put me in the house of Greg and Mayola Coleman. So that's where I'm staying right now, in Fairhope. Mm-hmm. And by the grace of God, God linked me up with some men of God that are really helping me to really actualize the purpose of God sending me to United States. But God keeps showing me more and more about the revival that is coming. And as a matter of fact, the signs are everywhere. When it is about to rain, God always gives sign. Mm-hmm. God always gives sign. One of the signs that is going to rain is the cloud begin to form.
Yes.
So the reason why God allowed that is for you who have eyes to see that there's a sign of rain and the cloud is gathering. You can see the cloud with your eyes.
Right.
And that's not just all. When it is about to rain, the second sign that God allow is the sign of the gathered cloud begin to make noise. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Begin to make noise so that if you don't have eyes to see the cloud, your ear can hear the sound in the atmosphere. And the third sign that it's going to rain is you begin to feel a cool breeze blowing. Mm-hmm. So that in case God allowed this to happen, if you don't have eyes to see the cloud and you don't have ear to hear the sound that is going to rain, you can feel the breeze with your skin that rain is coming. Right now, what is happening in churches in Gulf Coast right now, the stirring of revival in Gulf Coast right now is just preparatory to the great thing that is about to be birthed, which God told me is going to be greater than what we have seen in Azusa Street Revival and what we have read in about Azusa Street Revival and other movement of revival in history. What is about to happen is going to be great. And lately, when I begin to interact with people, I really come to understand that there was a major prophecy during the Azusa Street movement that in about 100 years after this, there's going to be another greater move of God that is going to be more than what is being experienced here on the Azusa Street Revival. And when you count from 1906 to 2006, you get 100 years.
Right.
Now, that 100 years is the 2006 mark, the beginning of the conception of the end time revival. And if it takes 9 months for a baby to form in the womb and be birthed, then that 9 months could represent another 9 years. If you count from 9 years, from 2006, it's going to land you in 2015. So, brother, I can see the sign everywhere. Yeah. I can see the sign everywhere.
I hear that.
And I'm really, really glad for everyone that is hearing this broadcast today. Get yourself ready. For God is tearing up the heart of people. Before any major revival break forth, people always are stirred into the upper room for prayers. Prayers precede revival. Prayers give birth to revival. Prayers is the oven that where revival are baked. And I can assure you that God is stirring the heart of people to pray right now.
We are here with Apostle Kadari, and we are so excited to hear about this prophetic word about just a there's so much more you got to hear about it because it's so big. It's a huge thing. All the nations coming together for what God's about to do. But you were talking about prayer before we went to break, and you know we got to be a people of prayer. If you could just pick that up and just help us out with that.
Yeah, really. In November last year, 2013 November, God revealed to me that you're going back to the United States. And you're going to spend time with me in prayer. In that month of November, God told me that I should abide in his presence. And he asked me that I should fellowship with him for 4 hours every night. Initially, I kind of, how will I be able to do that? From 3 o'clock to 7 o'clock in the morning every night. He said, because of what he is about to birth in the Gulf Coast. So when I came in January, I told some couple of people that this is a time God wants to birth what he's been revealing to me that is going to happen here. Well, as you all know, I am from African continent. I don't know what is going on in the United States. I have never heard that there's going to be any revival anywhere until I came to the United States. God spoke to me. And I got the confirmation from the people living at the Gulf Coast that really there was prophecies like that before. And the revelation God showed to me is what I'm about to talk about now and how he asked me to spend 4 hours with him every night, you know, because before this major thing will happen, there's going to be a stirring of prayer. Mm-hmm. You see, from November last year, God showed to me that as I spend 4 hours with him every night, that he is going to move on the hearts of people. And they are going to, you know, their heart will be stirred into prayer and something will break forth. Mm. Something is going to break forth. Because he say, and when it breaks forth, it's not going to be a denominational thing. It's not going to be one particular church affair. It's going to cut across all denominations. It's going to cut across all churches. It's going to be something that when the glory fully come, nobody struggles to manifest the glory. Genuine children of God will see themselves manifesting the glory. And as a matter of fact, the revelation God showed me was I saw a mighty spinning wind. And this mighty spinning wind was blowing on top of the bay. As the wind was blowing on top of the bay, before it got to the bridge side.
This is Mobile Bay.
Which is Mobile Bay. Before it got to the bridge side, the wind splitted into four. One went northward, one went southward, one went eastward, and one went westward. And begin to just spin. It's like a spinning wind. And God spoke to me. He said, this is the wind of the end time revival. Wow. That is going to be birthed in this Gulf Coast. Sure. Beginning from the bay in Mobile. Wow. And this wind is going to blow not just United States, across the shores of United States to all over the world. Again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's Spirit. Joel chapter 2 verse 28, the Bible says, it shall come to pass in the latter days that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And also in Haggai chapter 2, God said, thus says the Lord God of hosts, yet once it is a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord. He said, the silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. And the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former house. Now, the glory God that is coming upon the church. And the church is not building. The church is ecclesia. Ecclesia is a called out assembly. The remnant of God's people that have been crying for the glory. They cry, there are some remnants in all denominations. This is the church we are talking about. The people that are hungry for the glory. And when you read Matthew 24, verse 14, it said, the gospel of this kingdom shall be preached in all nations, and then the end would come. So we are right in the beginning of the end. So this glory that is coming is going to blow upon the bride, preparing the bride for the bridegroom. The bridegroom is Jesus Christ, and the bride is the church. And this church, like I told you before, is the remnant of God's people from all over denominations that are crying and hungry for the coming of the bridegroom. Now, Jesus said, I'm going to present the church to the Father, a spotless church without spot nor wrinkle. So this glory wind that is going to blow from the Bay of Alabama in Mobile, that will spin across the north, south, east, west of United States and cross over through the north, through Canada to other part of the world, to Asia, to Africa, to Australia, and to other part of the world. It's a great honor to find myself at the Gulf Coast at this critical moment of history. And I give God praise for what God is set to do. And who am I to be part of what God has programmed for this end time? It's a great privilege. And God spoke to me, give me 4 hours every night. And since November 2013, I have, without stress, I have been able to keep up by the grace of God with what God has laid in my heart to spend time in His presence, doing what? Blessing God for the coming revival. Is the time, and this is the time that the bridegroom will show forth to the world that he is preparing the bride, a brilliant bride, decorated with signs and wonders. So the glory of God is going to be made manifest through the church again in this end time. And I tell you what, when the glory fully comes, all the ruts and all the mess we've seen in the church today will be filtered off.
Yes.
And the power of God will blow across churches. There shall come a time in this end time glory that as people walk through the grocery stores and walk through the Walmart, people will be crying out, what shall I do to be saved? People will be crying out for, you know, how they can give their life to God and how they can get close to God and serve God. What is coming ahead is greater, is so mighty, more than what we used to know and more than what we've read about. But there's going to be a pressing in, and that pressing in is, God is saying right now, is a time for church to move again to the upper room and vacate the supper room and move to the upper room. And the upper room is a womb and is a kind of incubating room that will incubate this end time revival. It's great. And it's going to be glorious. I'm so glad.
I am too. Oh my goodness. Awesome. I am pumped. The presence of the Lord is just even so strong. Wow. We're really talking here. I got so much to talk about. You know, the Bay in Mobile is called the Bay of the Holy Spirit. That actually is called the Bay of the Holy Spirit.
Wow. I was so surprised and so happy to hear that the Bay of Mobile has some historical prophetic stuff hanging over it.
Isn't that amazing?
It's just amazing.
It's just God. And we're so encouraged. So upper room, because you think about, you know, when Jesus said, I want you to go and I want you, he said, before you do anything, right? We're fixing to go to break and come right back. But, you know, he said, before you say anything, before you do anything, I want you to go somewhere and I want you to wait in that upper room thing that you're talking about. I want to be able to talk more about that, because sometimes we just jump so soon, we don't pray. And like you're talking about and hear from the Lord. You're talking to Apostle Isaiah Kadari about this awesome prophetic revival that God's been speaking of, and the fires are beginning to just kind of, embers are beginning to to turn us towards prayer, to begin to get to this incubator he's talking about, that's where God begins to birth, you know, revival in this upper room. And I remember I just spoke about recently that, you know, we went back to the original journey of I mean, Jesus said, don't go nowhere, don't say nothing. You stay there and you wait on me, because I got the promise that I talked to you about. And it was whole series called The Promise, but it's like, that's the empowerment that takes us in. And so you're talking about 4 hours per person. Somebody's going, okay, I'm going to pray for 4 hours. I mean, what would talk to them, encourage them. What does that mean to begin to say, you know, I'm going to dedicate this time?
Well, like you read about in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 7, he said, not by power, not by mind, but by my spirit. If you've got to spend so long time with God, it must be by the spirit. Right. And it's not going to be by the energy of the flesh. Right. Because when you pray with your understanding, And before you pray for 1 hour, you have exhausted all you know to pray.
Right.
So it's not going to be by the energy of the flesh. Most time you pray in the spirit. Mm-hmm. Paul said, I have learned to switch frequency when I'm praying. I've learned to pray with my understanding and to pray with the spirit or in the spirit. And Paul told the Corinthian Christians that I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. Right. Mm. That means Paul prayed more in the spirit. And then no wonder he got an amazing revelation. Revelation that was given to Paul is so amazing that he said, I knew a man 14 years ago, I mean about 14 years ago, who was in the spirit, whether in the spirit or in the bodily form, I can't tell, but such amazing revelation was given to him, which no mouth can alter. In other words, God showed him amazing things concerning the church. Right. If not for Paul, mm-hmm. the church would have been a mystery till right. now. But it was Paul that revealed to us more about the church and the operational formula of the church. So it's a great thing for someone to spend 4 hours in God's presence every night from 3 o'clock to 7 o'clock in the morning. It is by the Spirit. As you pray in the Spirit, you don't even know, you can't even know when that time is exhausted. Right. You pray because the Spirit knows the mind of God. Our understanding is limited, but the Spirit knows the mind of God. The Spirit makes intercession through our mouth with groanings that cannot be uttered. That's what the scripture say. So when you pray in the Spirit, you pray longer and you cover more ground. But the devil has a way of messing up with our mind.
Right.
When mm-hmm. you are praying in the spirit, your mind will try to contradict,
right.
to tell you that, what are you saying? I mean, but that is a spiritual thing.
Right.
A carnal-minded man cannot understand the things of the spirit. So as you are speaking in an unknown language, speaking in tongues and praying in tongues, you are praying for things your mind cannot even figure out. That's just all about that. And you can really, really cover more ground in the spirit. For example, I was in Nigeria. Something was going to happen to somebody. And the spirit stirs my spirit up to pray. And I don't even know what it is. But he said, pray. So since I don't know what to pray for, I began to pray in the spirit. And as I went on and on and on and praying and praying and praying and praying in the spirit, I did not have any idea that I was praying for my pastor, a pastor in my church working with me in the ministry. And the devil has designed to eliminate the whole family by a tragic incident that is going to happen the next day. But I have this urge in my spirit mm-hmm. to keep on praying in the spirit. Mm. And praying in the spirit, I didn't know what I was praying for. But the Holy Ghost was using my mouth to intercede for what the enemy wanted to do against my pastor mm-hmm. the next day. Now, look at what happened. The next day, one of the daughters of the pastor went to the gas station to buy kerosene, because in Nigeria we use kerosene to cook. Mm-hmm. You turn it into a stove mm-hmm. and then you light it and put your food on top. Mm-hmm. So this girl went to the gas station to buy kerosene, but by mistake, she bought a gas fuel,
ooh.
Petrol.
Ooh.
So she bought, thinking that is cooking kerosene mm-hmm. because she was just about 11 or 12 years old as mm-hmm. then. So she brought the gas that is used to drive a vehicle mm-hmm. and turn it into a stove.
Wow.
To cook.
Oh, my goodness.
So she didn't have idea of it. Mm-hmm. she light the mat and put light in the stove, and the angel of God came right in that kitchen room and stood by the stove. The father, the pastor, was not at home. The mother was not at home. It was the girl and other little children. They were hungry and they want to cook and they want to eat. Mm-hmm. So she put a light in the stove and put her food on top of the stove. Mm. And somehow, miraculously, the petrol gas did not explode. Mm. The petrol gas was used to cook.
Wow. That's unheard of. It would explode.
And the food was cooked.
Oh my goodness.
And when the food was cooked, they turned the stove off. No right. explosion. And the children ate. When their parent came from place of their work, they in the evening time they want to prepare dinner. Ignorantly, they still light the same stove and use it to prepare dinner.
Right.
This is never heard of anywhere in the world.
Right.
That the petrol gas was used to cook lunch, cook dinner.
Oh my goodness.
And then when the pastor came back, The stove was behaving abnormally, and he said, "Why is the smoke coming out like this?" And then they took the gallon and smelled and discovered that it was a gas petrol. And the man said, "What did you buy?
what did you buy?"
And they were all surprised.
Yes.
How come there was no explosion? How come that a gas you used to drive a car was turned into a cooking stove and there was no explosion? This is one of the greatest miracles I have ever seen. Mm-hmm. And this thing happened because there was a divine intervention. God sent his angel to stand and defend that family. But an intercession went ahead. Then the Holy Spirit spoke to me. That was what you were praying for yesterday, and you could not pray through. You prayed and prayed nonstop, and the Spirit keep on urging you to pray more. This was what I was using your mouth to intercede for. So when we pray in the Spirit, we cover more ground than when we pray with our understanding.
Yeah.
And when we pray in the Spirit, we pray with energy of the Spirit and the tenacity of the Spirit. You don't exhaust, you don't run out of word when you are praying in the spiritual language. So this time around, the church is going back to the upper room. And that is one of the things God has laid on my heart to move from church to church to stir up the spirit of prayer among all denominations that opened their door for me to come in.
Awesome.
And I tell you what, I walk with those that open the hand of fellowship to me. I come and stir the spirit of people into prayer because something is about to break forth. You will love it. I tell you, you will love it.
Well, that's all I was going to ask you, if you would do that, if somebody wanted to invite you to come and to minister and to speak what God is doing and to encourage and you know, God builds a vision, he gets everybody in agreement with what he's doing, but first we got to hear what he's doing.
That's right.
And we got to say, okay, God, whatever you want to do. And I remember when, you know, Brother John Kilpatrick, my spiritual father, that he was so hungry for revival.
Yes.
He said, I don't care where it happens. I don't care if it happens up the street. I don't care if it happens anywhere. I'm going to go wherever God's moving, whatever's happening. And God just happened to move, you know, where he was in such a powerful way. And many people were touched. But he had that hunger you're talking about.
Yes,
you know, and he just praying and crying out to God. And it was almost like a desperation type thing. We were like, I'm just tired of religion. I'm tired of, you know, men trying to have, you know, philosophies their vain ideas, and then, you know, not walking in love. You know, as Christians, we're called to love each other. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And not having that love for each other. And we get back from this break. I want to be able to share some things that Lord is about what I think what you're talking about, where the glory and the harvest that God has shown of these huge amount of folks that are becoming to the Lord. I'm sitting here with Apostle Kadari from Nigeria and from the Gulf Coast. And we're going to continue this conversation, just so you know, in our partner's area. So we're going to talk about a couple other things. So we're going to make some more things available for our partners. I got some questions I want to ask.
Yes.
You know, some more. And he has, everything you're saying is just so encouraging to us. And what you were just talking about in the break, if you could share that, I would appreciate it. And we'll just share our stuff later on. And I just want to hear what you have to say about, you know, if somebody will open their doors and say, you know, I want this, I want revival, I would like for you to be able to come into my church and to minister. Can you talk about that?
Oh, yes. Really, that's what is going to make me fulfilled, because that's the reason why God sent me here. God sent me here as a kind of to, you know, help birth what is about to happen, you know. So every church that opens their door, I'm really readily available. Now, as I go back to Africa next week, by the grace of God, I'm going to come back in January and stay for about 3 or 4 months to move from church to church. My schedule is open. Anybody, any church, any pastor that open their hand of fellowship and say, brother Isaiah from Nigeria, oh, come on, come in. That's wonderful. We just write it down and book the appointment. I come. If it is for revival, I can hold. I have held. I had a revival in 8 Mile in 8 Mile, Alabama here, you know, where we have to have a whole 1 week of revival in one church, because it was supposed to be two days, from 2 days to 3 days, from 3 days to 4 days, and the whole week. So any church that opened their door, I'm going to come and steer the people up in the area of prayer, because that is what is really, really lacking in the church today. Now, Jesus Christ, when he was going up in Acts 1, you know, they were looking up to heaven, and a voice came from heaven. Oh, ye men of Galilee, what are you looking at? This same Jesus, you see, going up shall come back in the like manner. And then Jesus had told them to wait in Jerusalem. Do not hurry to go. Wait for empowerment. Wait to be endued by the Spirit. For you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And then you shall be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem, in Samaria, and unto the utmost part of the earth. So when they returned, you know, back to Jerusalem, they went straight to the upper room to wait. You know, as they were in the upper room, they prayed and waited for 10 days. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came like a mighty rushing wind. Mm-hmm. And the whole room was filled with glory. Mm. And Peter stood up to explain what was happening, because they all began to speak in tongues. And they began to speak in languages. And the people wondered, say, are these men not Galileans? How come we can hear them speak in our own language? And they were surprised. And Peter said, this is the fulfillment of what Joel spoke in Joel 2:28, that in the latter days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So Peter said this is fulfillment of prophecy. Now, every prophetic word can have double effect and double effect from generation to generation. So that same prophetic word that began its fulfillment in on the day of Pentecost, the end time, the one that is going to happen in the Gulf Coast, oh my God, is going to be awesome. You will love it. How will you feel when, you know, walking at the Walmart, you see people crying out for salvation? How will you feel when the homeless and the drug addicts and all the people around see you just walking and begin to cry out, say, I need Jesus? How will you feel when you don't struggle anymore to get people convinced to receive the Lord Jesus Christ? How will you feel when you see the glory of the church, you know, oozing out of your life?
Awesome.
How will you feel? You will really feel great.
Well, one, we got a little bit of time left, and we're going to, in our partners area, we're going to talk a little bit more after today's program so our partners can get it, because we've got some big questions. The glory that we've seen, the harvest that we've seen, we're going to talk about those things. But, you know, you're talking about how God loves America. Talk to us about that, our audience. That's beautiful what you were sharing.
Yes. United States of America is a God state. It's a wonderful nation that God loved this nation so much. And God has endowed this nation because of his own divine purpose. You see, when God was revealing to me about how much he loved United States of America, when I listen to people saying negative things about America or United States, it baffled me because they speak out of ignorance. Mm. They don't even know what God's program is for this country. As a matter of fact, the love of God for United States, he don't even hide it at all, because so many things that are happening here, I understand that the love of God is so evident. And guess what? What God is set to do again that will touch the whole globe will be birthed again in this place. God showed me how much United States has poured into nations, giving them assistance, you know, helping them. Even nations that are not even friendly with America, United States still help even their enemies, even at the expense of even their own comfort. They have their own issues. Every nation has her own challenge. It's not that nobody throws money around. You know, no matter how much you have, you will still want more. That is how it is. Right. But United States give out a lot. Since God says, since these people has given out a lot, it's time for me to pour in back to them. Because it's a principle, it's a law that when you give, it shall be given unto you. Mm-hmm. You know, many American missionaries lost their lives trying to, you know, bring the gospel to the third world countries like Nigeria, like other places. Some of them died of, you know, one thing or the other. So they sold their life. Mm. And this is a time now for United States to reap the harvest of, you know, of what they have sown. They have sown, they have imparted life. They have blessed nations. They have brought the gospel of Jesus to nations. And this is a time that God wants to pour in back to United States. And that's why we are here.
This is so encouraging. We're not going to stop here. Go to our partners area. We're going to have a little bit more conversation. We got some questions that we want to ask Apostle Isaiah about the glory, about the dreams. There's good things in store. We're going to make sure his contact information is available for you at vfntv.com. Apostle Isaiah, thank you so much for responding to God.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on VFN TV and moving on the Gulf Coast. I am excited and expected for what God is going to do.
Amen.
God bless. Don't forget to find out more at VFNTV.com and catch us Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. on the Gulf Coast, the Glory Zone.
He's on.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.